Hey guys, I'm Stevie Nelson.
And I'm Dave Horwitz.
And this is I Burn Everything, a food and relationship podcast during the time of social distancing.
Yes, Stevie, this is our social distancing mini series, and you have reached, listener, you've reached episode 2.
Yes, you've made it to episode 2, meaning you're somewhere in between 7 to 14 days of social distancing, and you're either slightly insane or very insane by now.
Yes, and we have decided, maybe to help ease that insanity, we've decided to talk with some of our favorite past guests, returning guests, etc., to see how they are dealing with being inside their homes at all times, just see how it's going for them. So why don't we kick this episode off, Stevie?
All right. Today, we have Brendan Smith.
Let's go.
Do I have a theme song?
You will, yeah. You will absolutely have a theme song. You'll have to choose it, and it will have to be licensed appropriately.
It's probably going to be like, maybe we'll, what would your metal theme song be?
Heavy Metal Thunder by Saxon, I think. maybe Motorcycle Man by Saxon. Maybe The Clansman by Iron Maiden. I don't know. There's so many. Free Will Burning by Judas Priest. That's my theme song, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
We'll pipe some in there and we won't get sued.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not worried about that on my own show. I mean, who cares? Come after me. I'm going to play music.
Come at us.
That's smart. Yeah. Come at us. We don't give a shit.
Yeah. It's 2020 and all our pipe dreams have gone down the drain and we don't care. Come sue us.
Fuck you, lawyers.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Good morning. Hi, I haven't showered in 4 days.
Oh, wow. I'm showering twice a day now in order to keep like some feeling of like I got stuff to do and places to go, but I'm just staying at home.
Right. I have been in sweat since roughly March 10th. So
damn.
You felt it coming on. You're like, I might need to get into sweats right now.
Well, I've basically been in sweats for the last 5 years, so this wasn't really a big adjustment for me. I need more sweats, which I have ordered.
Oh,
now tell me, are you like a straight up kind of Hanes drawstring guy, or have you gotten into these new fashion sweatpants, the joggers with the cuffed ankles?
I have to say, I have a pair of those cuffed sweatpants that I got via Jeff Bezos's wonderful Amazon company, and I like them. I'll go down and dirty old school Hanes.
Oh, me too.
Target specials, $8 Target specials, but the cuffed ones I'm okay with. But
I love them. I actually find that
I've gotten myself a pair.
Yeah, they're more functional. Wouldn't you say? Like, I feel like I can move around better in them. I pretty much live, as everyone knows, before this or after this, I live in Nike tracksuits.
You really do.
That is like I have like two modes. It's either Nike tracksuit or really cute sort of like vintage outfit. But 70% of the time you're going to get Nike tracksuit.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I live in kind of the most beat up looking, but still new Levi's 510s that I can find. I wear the 510s to the point where I split the crotch all the way open on one that I've only had for a year. And I paid literally $35 to get it fixed.
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Instead of just getting a new pair.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, really. But
you're saying my lifestyle doesn't make any sense to you?
No, I mean, like, it's the repairs for jeans and stuff like that is so confusing because it's usually like a big portion of how much the jeans already cost. It's kind of like getting a lens for a camera repaired. You know, like you're paying a good percentage of how much you already paid.
That's true.
100%, because you actually could find a pair of, if you can't find a good pair of used jeans in Los Angeles for $20, you're not looking hard enough.
I agree.
Oh, totally. I mean, I think it's my psychotic need to hold on to the past is really what I'm paying for, honestly.
Understood.
Oh, okay. Oh my God. Amazing. Speaking of, Brendan, how are you holding up?
What do you mean, speaking of?
I mean, like, the past, like how we, you know, how like a few weeks ago. Yes. we had normal life and now you're just checking in on your friends, you know?
Yeah.
Very smart.
It's been happy hour since roughly March 16th. Was that the day? What day is today? I have no idea what today is. Well, it doesn't matter what today is because we're podcasting. But yeah. I will say this, but that I've been in a happy hour situation for the last 11 days. Let me put it that way.
Wow.
I'm not going to judge. It is 1:40 p.m. at the time of recording, and I would be lying if I said I was not currently drinking a natural lime flavored White Claw.
Wow.
Oh. Is White Claw an alcoholic beverage that the kids are drinking that I'm not aware of?
Yes, Brendan, let me talk to you about White Claw Hard Seltzer. Now,
oh no.
Like any product I talk about on Everything, this is not a sponsor.
We have hit an all-time low. We are going
Wait, what do you mean?
Oh, we are talking Stevie. White Claw on a podcast. It just doesn't get more LA than this.
I was skeptical too. And I think that I didn't want to believe it either, but this shit is delicious.
Okay.
It tastes like nothing.
What's that mean? What do you mean it tastes like nothing?
Well, it's called hard seltzer. And for my money, it's like a couple years ago, Smirnoff Ice was having a big old moment. And that was supposed to be like kind of an alternative to beer. And that was very sticky and syrupy. I've known people before who have actually had a White Claw thinking it was just a can of seltzer and they couldn't really tell the difference. It's very lightly flavored. It's clear. There is alcohol to it, but I think to get absolutely hammered on this stuff, you'd have to really try very hard. So if you want to just have a nice little breezy feeling, let's say both of you, for example, I don't know, are stuck inside your respective homes for days on end with no real end in sight and no leadership in Washington to kind of make you feel better, sleep well at night. Mm-hmm. White Claw will put you to sleep.
Oh my God.
Is it basically an alcoholic LaCroix? Is that what the situation is?
100%. That's what we're dealing with.
Okay. Then that makes sense to me. Wow.
What of your cocktails of choice?
Yeah, what
been?
Are you drinking over there?
Well, I will have to say that there have been some margaritas being made over in this place. the individual that I am currently seeing was a bartender at one point in her life.
Yeah.
So there's been some margaritas.
Huh?
There have also been a lot of a sort of summer special vodka drink, which is vodka with either limeade or vodka with like a lemon lime LaCroix.
That's honestly delicious.
Go ahead.
Brendan, okay, so you got to update us then because two things you just said are very different from the last time we talked to you, which was not too long ago. One, the person you're seeing, you said there's someone in your house with you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how
are you social now. You're social distance. Are you on lockdown with someone else?
That is a fact. That is happening as we
speak. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
Whoa, that's huge.
Tell us everything. Dish all about it. We'll be quiet so you can tell us everything.
Well, I'm going to change names to protect the innocent. The long story short is that I began seeing this individual. Let's call her Kim. That's not her real name, but let's call her Kim for the sake of
Kim Gordon. It's Kim Gordon, ladies and gentlemen.
Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth.
Yeah. Who I've seen twice walking her dog.
Oh, well, have you really?
I have. We smiled at each other last week.
That's hysterical.
Wow. We're all dating yes, Kims.
So I tracked her down, and we have a lot of mutual friends, Kim and I, the real Kim.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And have known each other tangentially for many, many years. And then there was she and her comedy partner did my podcast. That was sort of event one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ran into each other at a very good mutual friend's Christmas party. That was sort of event two. And cut to happy hour last night where we had we made steak and chicken quesadillas with meat from the Vallarta market on Oxnard and Vineland. And had a few margaritas. So
wait,
go ahead.
I, Well, I don't want to. I will not blow up your spot, but I have become a loyal listener to your podcast, and I believe I was listening to that episode the very last time I set foot in my gym before they closed their doors. So I guess I can kind of do the math, but that's cool. It sounds like that episode sounded like you guys were having a lot of fun.
That was the Julia and Dana episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one of those people is the person you're dating.
That's right.
Yes. That's okay. Fantastic. Yes. Was so that episode the first time that you guys had talked in a while?
Yes, it was. In a while. But we have an unbelievable amount of mutual friends.
That's what you were saying you wanted. You were saying that it's important that we all have accountability by having mutual friends.
Yeah, and then the interesting thing is because we have all these, you know, great mutual friends, before the lockdown started, we were getting requests from everyone to hang out. So it's been quite lovely in that regard. And there's a shorthand of history too.
That's so nice.
So did you guys start seeing each other like as soon as you finished the episode? Was it like, hey, we should keep hanging out, or did it take a little while after?
It took a little while after. We had our friend Arden Marine had a big Christmas party. And
I love her.
We sort of reconnected there. And then one fateful hang at the farmer's market led to like, hey, let's do this again. And then now here we are. That's what we're going to have for lunch today.
Wait,
that's so. And are you guys at her place or your place?
My place.
Brennan, have you guys been?
That is so cool.
That is cool. Have you guys been there the whole time since the beginning of a social distancing isolation?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So it's been like 2 weeks almost.
Yep.
Wow. How's it going? Is it going well?
it's gonna, you know, I jokingly say it'll make or break us.
I mean, for sure.
Wait, how? Oh God, there's so much to unpack. I mean, look, there's honestly, you know, these quarantine times episodes of our show are definitely going to be more conversational. But I guess my I burn everything brain kicks in, and I want to know when was the last time you lived with a significant other? Before this,
it has been a significant chunk of time.
it's been
a significant chunk of time.
Been a little bit jarring, or was it like it just clicks and it works, or are you like remembering things about how to do this?
Well, this is so different because we're in a situation where we're on lockdown.
Yep.
So that's like this didn't exist anywhere else. And there's also nothing to do at night but hang and watch. We watched Tiger King in one day.
Yeah. Wow. I think everybody did.
Yeah, we all did.
I mean, you know, there's no going out to dinner with friends.
Nope.
We were lucky to get a couple of those nights in, you know, before this all went down. There's also no separate time. There's no like, hey, yeah. I'm gonna go to the gym for a while, you know.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, what are we doing now?
Oh, do you have a one bedroom or a two bedroom?
One bedroom, but I got a lot of space. It's like I love my apartment. There's like a, you know, a little separate living room situation and a little dining room situation, so you know, there's some space. But and then I have my sort of own podcasting set up, you know, elsewhere in the place, so it's good.
Are you both able to get, you know, work done during the day in your separate little quadrants of the home?
Yeah, but it's also like we joke about like what work?
Yeah.
You know, we're both sort of in the same boat of, you know, this town is shut down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that people are putting pressure on themselves to write the next masterpiece, but that ain't happening, kids. Like, that's not how it works.
No.
Like,
no.
Good luck if you get that done, but, you know.
Don't you think it's interesting though that everyone's doing that? They're all like, everyone's like, make sure to be the most productive during this time. And you're like, maybe this is also just a vacation.
I think it's a vacation. Me too. The universe is basically telling everyone to take a huge time out. The speed of which Los Angeles put pressure on itself to be productive creatively during this period of time is, yes, I'm sure some people are going to create some things and it's going to drive people crazy. But for the vast majority of people, like, it's stressful to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
like this is enough.
Yeah, this is enough. Like just getting through the day, it's okay.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
You don't have to like, I wrote for 12 hours today and I'm psyched because my spec script's going to be done in 3 days. Like, you know, fuck off. It's not going to work that way. If you get something done, fantastic. But yep. the pressure, because I'm reading on social media, the pressure that people are putting on themselves to like get this done is unbelievable.
It's wacky.
Everyone's going to completely burn out. I mean, the thing that's craziest to me about people, you know, I know people who are literally recording audio of the other halves of scenes so they can do self tapes by themselves, like to record auditions. And wow. I think I honestly understand that from a fundamental level. But what I've been thinking is, and maybe it's like dark or scary. I mean, it is scary. Everything's scary right now. Is there going to be an entertainment industry, period? Like there's no, who knows when movie theaters are going to reopen? Who knows like when people are going to be able to gather in large enough groups to shoot a television show or a movie? It's like, what are we doing? Are we just all vloggers now? Do we just all have are we just all Instagram live artists?
Well, you know, this industry relies on people's demand for escape, for relaxation, content. You know, it ain't going to die. It'll change. Yeah. It'll get rejiggered like it did, you know, after the writer's strike, you know.
It always
morphs and changes.
So speaking of, you know, I guess 2008, which was when that writer's strike was, which I fully remember. I remember having a meeting with this writer producer guy who was like a friend's uncle, and he like met with this group that I moved out and was doing stuff with. And it wasn't until later that I realized, oh, this guy's a scab. That's why we're trying to have a meeting at TBS. Is that he's like, it was very funny. But with that kind of past lens in mind. Because you were on one of our most favorite recent episodes talking about all sorts of, you know, letting me pick your brain about was this restaurant here, was this restaurant there? Because you've lived in LA for 30 years. My question to you would be, has anything, just because I'm asking literally anyone I know, I mean, I literally asked my therapist this when we had a call this morning, but just like I asked my dad if when Trump got elected, if there was anything like that he can remember from his life ever. Is there anything comparable to this sort of like quarantine lockdown? There's a virus. We don't know how long this is going to affect us, et cetera. That you can relate to this experience in your time living in LA before this moment.
There are two massive ones and they both happened in the 90s. And for those of you who are here,
can I guess?
Go.
Northridge earthquake.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding.
And the Watts riots.
The riots, the LA riots and the Northridge quake, both were ridiculous events and very similar. And a lot of us, you know, my friends who were here during that time, too, we've been talking about the similarities just because to have an experience where millions of people experience the same thing at the same time. That's the thing that bonds like a city, you know, that common experience. And so we're all going through that right now.
Hey guys, Stevie here. Just wanted to say, hey, why don't you contact us? You can email us at iburneverythingpod@gmail.com, or you can even call our hotline and leave a message 213-458-5236. It's 213-458-5236, and we may even talk about your message or email on a future episode. So get to it.
If you want, I would love to expound on both events and how they were like similar to this. And if,
yes,
do you want me to go down that rabbit hole?
We'd love to talk to you about that.
Explaining to us the similarities and the differences and, you know, would be really helpful because a lot of us have never experienced anything like this.
Well, I'll do the quake first because that was an experience that everyone had at the same time. The crazy thing about the Northridge quake was it was by far,
it's, I mean, there has not been a quake since it that even matches its intensity, even half. It's close. It hit at 4:30 in the morning. Everyone was in bed, and it lasted, that initial quake, it just felt like it lasted forever. And it shook, like it shook the chimney off the house that I was living in at the time.
Whoa.
Our chimney crumbled into the driveway. You know,
it
was a real, it was almost like an amusement park ride. Like that's how
scary,
like it just felt like your building was just shaking you, trying to shake you out of it.
What city did you say you were in?
I was here. I mean, I lived in LA. I was in LA. My roommates and I lived in Hollywood. We lived in a craftsman home near Fountain and Fairfax. I was at my then girlfriend's apartment on basically 3rd and La Brea. She lived on Sycamore and 1st Street.
Okay.
And so, you know, unbelievably crazy events. We're woken up, you know, the bed is like bouncing up and down. And then, you know, you cut to everyone going out in the streets because all the car alarms are going off and like all the neighbors are flooding out in the streets at 4:30 in the morning to try to figure out like what had happened. But it really wasn't until, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning when you could check in with the television to see what was going on and how vast the destruction was around the city. Like there, you know, the 10 freeway at Fairfax, you know, the underpass, the freeway collapsed onto the road. Giant section of the 10 just fell down.
Yep.
And if that had happened during rush hour, you know, you're talking about 100 people that would have been instantly killed. Those kind of, you know, buildings that had crumbled to the ground, buildings in the valley, because Northridge is deep valley. Mm-hmm. And it was the center of the quake was not far from Cal State Northridge. And so there were whole buildings that collapsed. The city just went kind of into chaos. And I remember the crazy thing about that immediate day after, the number of aftershocks that happened were also jarring for people, because when an aftershock would start, you didn't know how long it was going to last and if it was going to be more severe than the initial quake. And that really rattled people. And then it was like, then people like got to grocery stores and just picked things clean. Like the way that you walk into a grocery store now and there's no toilet paper and there's no cheese and there's no, you know, that happened right after the Northridge quake, because people kind of panicked a little bit and they went out and panic bought, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, so I was a kid. I was like a little girl during that
time. You were a kid.
I was a kid and I was in Palmdale. So LA County, and it hit, and my grandma was in Northridge, where she had an apartment in Northridge, and she was trapped under her dresser for like a day, but none of the phones worked. Do you remember that? I know. We couldn't get a hold of her. Some neighbor came and helped her out, thank God. But yeah, I remember it very clearly. It was terrifying.
Oh my God. Well, I didn't have a cell phone back then.
Nope. Just landline.
You know, we just had a landline in our apartment. So there was no like checking in with people via text or.
Mm-hmm. Was that 94?
93, 94. I mean, we do have little computers in our pockets that could tell us the exact date, but.
I'll find it.
But that happened. No, but that's crazy, Stevie.
Yeah.
So
crazy.
Was she hurt? I mean, did she like get like anything broken or?
I don't really remember. I was so young, but I do. I remember she was a little bit injured, and I think the scariest part for everyone was not being able to get a hold of her. You know, like none of us could find, like we also couldn't get to her, because do you remember that part of the freeway, the 5 collapsed also?
Yep.
From Palmdale to Northridge, so we couldn't get to her.
Oh my God. Wow.
I know. It's terrible.
Is this your mom's mom or your dad's mom?
My mom's mom.
Wow.
I know.
That's truly awful and amazing that she was okay. I guess initially, you know, there was panic. You couldn't get anything. How long did it go on like that?
Well, it disrupted the city. You know, I would say, you know, those few days after the quake, everyone was still on high anxiety. In the way that there's like communal anxiety right now, there was high anxiety after the Northridge quake because people were still afraid of a bigger one that was going to come at any second. And the city was like brought to its knees, and you know, the loss of life and the loss of, you know, every there would be a new feature on the news about this building collapsed and this building collapsed and this building is no good anymore. And like all that kind of stuff was going on. And it just added to the heightened anxiety around the city. But I would say, you know, it took the city, you know, I would say a number of sort of months to recover. Forget about rebuilding the 10 or rebuilding the 5. There was just a sense that the city was just sort of, you know, really shaken to its core. Now, the riots, the crazy thing about the riots and the similarity between this event, the coronavirus event, and the riots was the sort of the citywide lockdown, the citywide, not martial law, but, you know, there was a curfew, you know, put on the residents of the city, you know, starting like day 2 or 3 of the riots. Because the first day of the riots was just crazy in the way that the city erupted into chaos. And everyone watched it live on television. But the subsequent days, when things started to get more intense and the looting and the rioting took over rather than just that sort of South Central hotspot where it, you know, erupted at, you know, 71st and Normandy or wherever that was, that the city went into like, we had a curfew that was like, I don't know, 7 p.m. or something like that, where everyone had to be inside and you couldn't be outside. And because the police were just trying to stop the looting, like that's the biggest similarity now. And also just the knowledge that the city was on fire. You know what I mean?
Was it just constantly
so insane
news, like TV news and
newspapers? My roommates and I, and again, I lived in the exact same house, and we had our neighbor was a retired police officer. And the second that the verdict went down in the Rodney King case, where the police officers were acquitted, he came next door to our house because he was listening to the police radio. And he said, "You guys aren't going out tonight because things are happening in South Central right now. And it's going to get out of control pretty quickly if the cops don't put it down." And then we literally turned on our television and saw live on TV those initial crazy eruptions in South Central. Most famously where they, you know, they pulled the truck driver from his truck. His name was Reginald Denny, I think. And they beat him. We saw that live on television. But even then it was some crazy stuff is happening in South Central, but how is this really going to affect it? We bet the police shut this down pretty quickly. Yeah. And then to like wake up the next morning and to have the looting and the rioting coming ever slowly, but coming north towards Hollywood, like literally straight up Vermont and straight up Western and straight up La Cienega and La Brea. That's when it was like the end of the second day where it was like, oh shit, what the fuck? And I, my then same girlfriend lived in a different building on La Brea and Sunset near our house. And we sat on the top of her building that second night and just watched the fires grow in the distance. And they would pop up. They would pop up like little, like just like little campfires. And then when the fires, the next night, when the fires got behind us in Hollywood, that's when it was full on martial law. Cities on lockdown. You're stuck in your apartment. You don't know how more out of control this is going to get. And you know, that was the common experience. And every part of the city was affected by it. And then because of the news, you know, the news element was a little different than this, because the local news in LA, every single channel covered the riots 24/7. There was no programming on. It was just, I'm here on the corner of Sunset and Virgil, and there's a Circuit City right here, and it's being picked clean. Ken, back to you. Well, I'm on the corner of Santa Monica and Western right now, and as you can see behind me, the pawn shop is being picked clean by these people. You know, then that was just constant. And my roommates and I would be like, go to channel 9, go to channel 5, go to channel two, go to channel four, because they would be doing, they would be covering sort of different crazy looting events. Like I, wow. I remember one of the craziest ones was over there in Los Feliz. There was a Circuit City. Now it's just a vacant building across the street from the Scientology studio on Sunset near the Del Taco.
Yeah. Do you remember when it was actually the stand-up comedian Brendan Walsh, who's very, very funny, made a very realistic banner? Circuit City had been closed down for, I feel like, at least a year. And he put up a sign that said, I believe it was either Whole Foods or Trader Joe's. I think it was Whole Foods. He put a big banner up that said Whole Foods coming soon. And
that's amazing. I did. Yeah.
People like lost their minds. Were like, we're getting a Whole Foods. And well, someone was like,
that would be a good location for it.
I know, but they had to be like, no, 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 this is a hoax. Don't listen to this.
I remember watching that place get picked clean. Picked clean, because we were like, holy shit, that's the Circuit City. And I forget what channel it was, but there was a reporter and he was in the parking lot, and martial law's on, so you're not supposed to be out, but the looters were still, like, you know, driving around, and the cops were stretched thin. So these two guys pulled up to the front door of the Circuit City. Mm-hmm. They ran in, they ran out with a giant television, tried to put it in the trunk of their bullshit Toyota Corolla as the guy is broadcasting live. And then they peeled away. And because they peeled away so fast, the television fell out of the trunk and smashed right there behind the reporter.
Oh no.
No.
Yeah. So they got nothing, but it was like, it was like that all day, 4 days.
Wow.
Well, first of all, that's some extremely good 90s news footage. If you can find that, if that exists anywhere, I would.
I'll give you my other favorite one that we watched live. Please. So there was a pawn shop near, again, Santa Monica and Western, and we watched live as a van pulled up. And by this time, all the businesses are closed. Like now, this pawn shop had its gate pulled in front of the store. You know, those iron gates that just, you know, that close down a business at night. Mm-hmm. We watched live from a helicopter point of view, a white van pull up. It got perpendicular to the pawn shop and rammed the gate once, backed up, rammed the gate. Whoa. Again. The guy backed up, rammed the gate a third time. And with a third time, the gate broke. And then from out of nowhere, a stream of people came and pushed the gate open and ran into the pawn shop. Meanwhile, the guy who was driving the van must have knocked himself out silly from the ramming, and he opened the door and fell out onto Santa Monica while people were rushing into the pawn shop.
What?
It was just crazy.
How was that? What?
And again, no cops around. Yeah. I mean, that's how bonkers things got.
Are you surprised that there's no looting happening right now?
Well, I mean, this event is different. You know, this event, a lot of the looting that happened in the riots was that typical looting that happens whenever there's sort of like a real natural disaster, mm-hmm. that stretches the police super thin. The police have this city pretty well under hand. You know what I mean? They were trying to put out major fires and they were trying to stop major, major looting. So they had to pick and choose their battle spots. You know, like Koreatown was not groovy in the early 90s at all. There was a lot of crazy bullshit happening in Koreatown, like whole buildings on fire and businesses that were being burned to the ground. So the police had to like pick and choose their spots, you know?
Yeah.
And so the looters took advantage of that. And actually it became fairly quickly well known that they were just watching coverage of local news, because if a reporter said, I'm here on the corner of 3rd Street in La Brea and I don't see any police right now, then you know, 10 minutes later, they burned Sammy's camera to the ground, which was right there by that Ralph's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, before it was on Fairfax, it was on La Brea, and they burned Sammy's camera to the ground.
Oh my gosh, so I didn't know
upsetting.
That.
You know, any out of
Yeah.
Any out of town listeners, Sammy's Camera is an extremely wonderful long running store that, I mean, I remember because I would have to make deliveries and pickups there when I worked at a trailer house for my first job when I moved to LA. So from 2006 to 2007, I spent a lot of time going back and forth from Sammy's Camera to a bunch of other places that either don't exist or have moved. Yeah. Sammy's is like, is great. So, okay, same kind of question as the earthquake one. How long before things kind of resumed slightly status quo after the riots?
Well, that was a whole there was no status quo for a while. I mean, because that was like, you know, it's long been said that like Dr. Dre's, you know, one of his albums became, you know, a sort of a relief for the community. I think The Chronic came out after the riots, and it was like one of the first things where people felt like they were sort of like, okay, we can celebrate a little bit because this album is so amazing. I'm not joking about that. The city was broken, and there were buildings that, again, that had burned to the ground. You know, the loss of Sammy's for like Hollywood, you know, think of all the industry people that was their place to go, and it was gone. And there was so much of that. And, you know, Koreatown was burned beyond recognition. And of course, South Central was, you know, just obliterated. So there was no return to status quo. I think it took this city years. I honestly think that it was like, you know, Shaq and Kobe's Lakers that sort of brought the city back together. You know, I'm not joking about like that, to have like,
so
that would have been like eight or 9 years later.
Yeah, right. To have a civic event where people felt like, okay, we're a whole city again.
Yeah.
And we're black and brown and white and poor and rich, and we can celebrate this one thing together. Like, I really feel like, you know, for a lot of people, Kobe's death was a reminder of, you know, that time when LA was whole again. I really think, because it was just, you know, there were parts of the city that you couldn't go to anymore. Like, people don't know, like, the way that this city is gentrified, it was not like that at all back then, especially after the riots, because they were really fucking dangerous areas. And the riots, you know, this is so well chronicled and taught about, but, you know, the riots were, you know, a lot of the poor neighborhoods that had been neglected and had been beaten by the police for decades. You know, it was sort of their primal scream, you know? It took years to feel like things were back to normal.
Wow.
Totally. I mean, it's devastating that, I mean, I wouldn't want to say at least LA had Shaq and Kobe, but the thing that made me think of, cause you know, I'm not an LA native, and I mean, I've been here long enough that, you know, it's starting to be kind of, oh, I think this is where I live for sure. You saying that everybody kind of came together when people were mourning Kobe a few months ago, I was like, oh wow, I don't have the same reverence. I mean, you know, he's obviously was an amazing basketball player, but the closest thing I can think of from being on the East Coast or from coming from the East Coast is, and this is like supremely, like, I mean, it's with context, it's a disgusting memory because of what it represents now, but, you know, I remember after, I don't know if you guys remember this, after 9/11, the first SNL that happened after that was, I believe they might have taken 2 or 3 weeks off, maybe longer. Somebody correct me. Obviously, we can look it up, but we're having a conversation here. I remember there was some, whatever the cold open was, Lorne Michaels and Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who at the time we were like, hey, Giuliani. We had no idea he was a complete ghoul, to the extent that we did. But if you guys remember, they were all standing on stage, and there's some, like, I'm something like Bruce Springsteen played, and it was really emotional. And then, Lauren says to Giuliani, he says, something like, you know, Mayor Giuliani, can we be funny again? And Giuliani says, like, why start now? And then everybody like laughed so hard, and then the show happened. And that was a show where like there was some sketch about how you had to be patriotic in the office, and like Will Ferrell wore like an American flag G-string bikini. It really did feel like, because I was a freshman in college when that was all happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having zero, like no mental acumen to to process it. And it's and knowing that, like, okay, these people that I revere as great and think are funny are, like, going to be funny again, made me feel like some semblance of, okay, I think I can wrap my head around this. But this just feels so much different, because what we're, you know, what you were just talking about were two tragedies. Obviously 9/11, a horrible tragedy. These are, like, events that, you know, not came and went, but, you know, 9/11 was an attack. The riots were based, were off of, you know, obviously the Rodney King incident. The earthquake was an earthquake. This is, like, a slow or fast, depending on where you are, moving virus that is, like, gobbling up lives. And so,
well, we're habitual creatures. I mean, we human beings are habitual creatures. And when our habits are disrupted, you know, that can, people can get squirrely when that happens. And that,
totally.
The other thing that I feel that is so similar to the riots and the quake is the disruption of your daily life. And this need to, like, get back to what that routine was, like, to get back to your routine. You know, it's going to take time.
It will take, I feel like it'll take a lot of time. I mean, it's going to take a lot of time. Like, the mayor is predicting 2 more months of this. And that's the, like, Los Angeles mayor. And and also, I'm like, it takes, for as much time as it takes to even get used to a new routine, like, I do think it's important for our own, like, nervous systems to get used to a new routine. Once we get used to it, that's when it'll go back to normal. And then we'll have to get reused to being in normal life again. But that will have changed. And it's like this huge adjustment over and over and over again.
Well, totally. I'll tell you this. If I didn't have to worry about bills and I could stay in this apartment for the rest of my life, the current situation is not bad.
Honestly, Brennan, right. I feel the same it's way. Like it's nice, it's like, right?
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. I mean, let us go outside and hike every once in a while. Reopen Griffith Park, you know, let the virus
open.
Die. And
it's
then
open.
And then no more jobs. Like, fuck jobs. Why?
That's what
jobs.
I was saying,
Let's
Brennan.
Let's all just get a stipend. Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten back to, like, this very simple way of living. Like, every day I, like, bake something nice or make myself, like, a really nice lunch. And then I sit on my porch and I knit, and I'm not kidding. And then I'll take a long walk with my dogs. If this is what life could be and none of us had to have jobs and money stopped mattering, I'd be the happiest person on earth. I'm just painting in my apartment all day. It's so nice, despite the fact that I really do miss, like, human touch. Like, that much I miss, because I'm not in an apartment with someone. But, like, man, this is actually, like, a very simple way of living that really speaks to me.
Yeah, I do need the gym because I'm getting fat really quickly. All these margaritas and beer and steak quesadillas, it's doing some damage. And I do need the Hollywood Y to reopen again, just for me. Just let me walk in and use the hot sauna.
Well, let me recommend, they got some very reasonably priced adjustable dumbbells that you can purchase on Amazon.
Is that true?
And it is true. I got myself a set, and I've been alternating between going to staying in my room and doing my my old Pilates instructor's free classes on Twitch. That's Coppertoned Cat at twitch.tv.
Nice.
And also lifting some weights. To that end of you saying, you know, the disruption of our schedule, I was going to ask. And you sort of, I guess, mention it with saying steak quesadillas, but you were such you're such a food advocate and a food lover. Like, on our episode, you hipped so many of our listeners to some local kind of hidden gems, and it seems like you're someone who, like me, loves to go to restaurants. I don't know if you were someone who liked to cook before this. Are you relearning how to cook? Are you and your new partner cooking a lot?
Yes.
Together, and if so, what are some staples that you're coming back to?
Okay, I was told by the wonderful Paget Brewster, LA comedian, also one of the regular characters on Criminal Minds. She did my podcast, and right after, she was like, she knew this was going to go down, and she basically said, people are going to pick Ralph's and Trader Joe's clean, and Gelson's, and all that stuff. go to the grocery stores in the poorer neighborhoods, go to the ethnic grocery stores, go to the Korean grocery store on Western and Beverly-ish, HK Market.
Yeah.
Go to Vallarta because they'll still have stuff. So pretty quickly, I was going to Vallarta, which is, I would call it, this is a horrible thing to say, but it's sort of like the Mexican Ralphs. They fucking crush it. And they, you know, good old fashioned working class people can't do $300 orders of food. So those grocery stores have had such a better selection of stuff. And the marinated meats at Vallarta Market, like if you want to do your own carne asada tacos, pastor tacos, chicken fajitas, they've got all those meats marinated. They have the fucking best salsas.
They've got
the best stuff in the counter, like shredded cheese and sour cream, and just they just have amazing stuff. So we've been eating incredibly well.
You've been running a Chili's out of your home.
because they do have to work for you with their marinated meats, their marinated steak, their marinated
They're incredible,
pork,
right?
Incredible.
Brendan, I grew up eating those.
Fantastic. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to shop I had like a boyfriend in high school who knew all about Vallarta, and we would go and get carne asada from them, like pre-marinated. And damn, nothing compares.
It's the best. And John's Markets has a similar sort of Eastern European flair to it. I've just lucked out every time I've gone to Vallarta. And, you know, they didn't run out of shredded cheese, you know, like all the other stores did.
Yeah.
They had a pretty good selection. They still have a pretty good selection of like canned beans and stuff like that. And it's been great. I mean, and tortillas too. Like everyone ran out of tortillas really quickly. But that's been the godsend. Vallarta has been the godsend. And I will say that we've also had a couple nights where we've gone down and dirty and been like, you know what? Fuck it. Domino's. Fuck it.
Oh, yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, might
Why
as well.
Not? And it's so easy. And they're 50% off when you order online, you know, so far. They have a coronavirus special.
Wow.
So,
bless those drivers. Bless those food prep people.
Yeah. So fuck it. You know, why not? Yeah. In a
it's
pinch,
like time to
it
enjoy.
Works. Domino's works.
Yeah.
You know, I can't have Village Pizzeria in Larchmont or right. Yes. Yeah, so.
Oh, God.
Those
okay.
have been the two things, Vallarta and Domino's.
Okay. So go to some of the smaller grocery stores, get yourself some pre-marinated meats. That's a good, actually, that's very useful because I feel like if I've ever felt like, oh, maybe this is lazy or whatever, it's like of me to not marinate something myself. It's like, you know, we're living in some meal to meal times. We got to just do what we can.
Yeah.
Their pastor, their marinated pork and red chili is phenomenal. It's so damn good.
But isn't it important, beyond going to those smaller markets, though, also make sure to keep, if you are buying food out, keep going to your smaller restaurants and stuff to keep them alive. Like a lot of the places are doing pickup. And so make sure to order like through Postmates or through wherever. Keep those small places that you want to be there when we're back to normal alive.
That's a very good call. Brendan, we're gonna wrap it up like around now. I was wondering, just because you know, there is only so many things one can do inside. Do you have any streaming recommendations for us as far as something that would maybe take our minds off of this that we could watch? We've been doing like movies and TV shows we think people might be enjoying.
Well, on Twitter, I of course have been giving people my recommendations for rock and roll documentaries.
Oh,
ooh la la.
I just watched the ZZ Top documentary on Netflix.
How was it?
Which was made by some of my favorite rock and roll documentary guys, the guys at Banger Films. They also did Rush Beyond the Lighted Stage and Iron Maiden Flight 666. Those three films are three of my favorite rock and roll documentaries of all time. I'll give everyone two more. Decline of Western Civilization Part 2. That's on YouTube if you want to stream it on YouTube. It's everywhere else if you want to check that out. One of my favorite films of all time. And then the Linda Ronstadt documentary, if people haven't watched that yet.
Where's that one?
That one, well, CNN made it. But it's, I feel like it's out there. You just have to find it. That's an incredible one. And then my sister-in-law, Diane Becker, she produced the Leonard Skinner documentary that was on Showtime, If I Leave Here Tomorrow. And that's a great documentary, too.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Linda Ronstadt's Sound of My Voice.
Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice.
I love her.
You can rent it on
her.
YouTube or Vudu or Amazon. You could rent it.
It's fantastic.
Okay, great. Those are all, well, good to know. And I'm going to be keeping my eye out for the Robbie Robertson and the Band documentary that I was supposed to see in theaters, but now we're all inside.
Yeah, so, right.
Brendan, thank you so much for coming back to the show. This was
Thank you for having me.
This was like
thank you, Brendan.
A great way to kick off our little hey, why don't we talk to some of our favorite people and see how they're doing for the next couple of weeks or months, depending on what our lives are. But great insight as always. Great LA talk, and you know, we'll be letting you know next time we have some marinated meats.
All right, thank you guys.
Thanks,
bye,
man.
Brendan.
Stevie, that was really fun.
That was so fun. I'm so glad Brendan's doing well. It sounds like he's doing better than most of us.
Honestly, I mean, I did not want to pry, but you know, I've since I met him on the air when we recorded, I've been a fan of his show. He's a fascinating guy.
Yeah.
And I listened to the episode where he is talking to these two women and they're having some drinks and laughing a lot, and the fact that he's now in what seems like a serious relationship with one of them makes me extremely happy.
It's the best, right? I know when he told me he was dating someone a while, he told me a little bit ago, and I didn't ask for any updates, but I'm so, what a nice thing to have happen right before a pandemic hits and we're all supposed to stay indoors for the next duration of our lives. Like that's a dream.
It's a total dream. And also I can see it being a slight stressor because, you know, your relationship is being tested, but it sounds like it's going extremely well. Just the idea of somebody coming back into your life. And honestly, I mean, not to downplay podcasting too much, but you know, it can feel like a silly thing here and there, but look at what happened. He had this person he hadn't talked to in a long time on a show.
Yep.
And now they're literally living together on lockdown, making fajitas and tacos.
So cute. I love that it's like very Mexican themed food too happening. Like margaritas and tacos is so cute.
I know, especially in Southern California. It's a very, it's a really good thing that's happening. I mean, I'm happy to talk to him about anything. I thought we were just going to talk about, you know, LA crisis and what the city does. And we did that, but he kind of just dropped that on us that he's essentially has a live-in girlfriend after what sounds like quite a long time.
I know. It's amazing. I'm looking for one.
As far as romance in the time of coronavirus, Stevie, I am experiencing a level of viral fame about relationships that I have never experienced before.
Oh my gosh, what
do
you mean?
In my entire life. I have a tweet that is currently going so viral that I just got a message from someone saying it's on Reddit, and I haven't looked at the Reddit link yet, but I tweeted something about a friend of mine because I thought it was extremely cute. And tell me what you think, because it's kind of divisive. But I tweeted, my friend is going on a first date tonight with a girl he's been talking to on Tinder. They're going to park next to each other at McDonald's and talk with the windows cracked while eating their own individual orders of fries. How's that for romance and longing? Jane Austen? ?
So good.
This is based on a real thing that happened to a friend of mine the other night.
Yeah.
It went very well for both of them. I think they really hit it off.
Great.
And maybe when we can all leave our houses and touch each other, they'll live happily ever after. But
yeah,
this tweet currently at time of recording has 84,000 likes and 7,500 retweets.
Holy moly. I'm one of those retweets, but man, that is intense.
It's intense because, and look, I mean, we talked a little bit about how afraid everybody is, but a lot of people are replying talking about how irresponsible it is and how they're endangering people and how you got to stay home and flatten the curve and how, and people are just assuming how they were handling the food and how the drive-through people were handling the food, and they're going to contaminate everything and they're going to get each other sick. And, you know, I didn't include this, but I did get a picture afterwards of my friend sitting in his car with his tape measure extended to prove that they were 6 feet apart, and she's holding the other end. And it's like the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life, especially at a time like this.
Yeah, I think it's really cute. I also think, you know, everyone is giving different information. Yes, probably great to stay at home and make all your meals. But also by keeping McDonald's needs no help being kept alive. They're a company that just will never run out of money. But like, I think it's like pretty, that's like, I think it's weird to hate on people for going and doing something that feels good. Like, I'm like, are you kidding?
I mean, I've just been replying to the trolls who are mad because, you know, McDonald's is not paying sick leave to their employees, and it's like I don't purport to have any solutions to the problem. I mean, maybe that is the problem, is that I need to become more of an activist in these times.
It's comedy. Like, what people aren't like, here's the thing, your tweets are all comedic. That's the part that kills me about Twitter, is when there are legitimate replies to a tweet that's supposed to be funny, and you're like, thank you so much for the feedback, I wasn't asking for it, this is a joke.
I know, part of me wanted to just reply and be like, I'm lying, I made it up, it didn't actually happen, like, give, I know, me a break. I'm a writer.
Yeah,
but you know, my other, I guess the other like end of the pendulum is, and at this point it's been, I feel like we've been in quarantine for a month, so I don't remember if I talked about this last week, but I was able to help connect did I say this last week about how I was able to help connect a doctor with a bunch of N95 masks?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Either way, I feel like if that was my good thing and now everyone is mad at me about about this tweet, then I feel like it cancels it out and I just did nothing. So that's fine.
100%. And that's how I feel when everyone's like, everyone should be vegan or everyone should be whatever. And I'm like, I drive a Prius. I walk almost everywhere. Let me do what I want.
Absolutely. Speaking of let you do what you want, how is your how is the social distancing art party going?
It's going well. We're on day 13. By the time everyone's hearing this, it will have been like, I don't know, day 18, you know? But I'm like on, I know, God, crazy. Yeah, it's going well. We're having fun with it still. I think, like everything, there's like a bit of a drop off once I think reality hits, which makes me kind of laugh, because like, I'm like, oh, I totally get it. It's like for the first 4 days, it's really fun to do art. And then all of a sudden people are like, what the heck? But we're all, a lot of us are still going, and it's very fun. It's still going well. Yelp,
I'm really glad.
Yelp is actually going to do an article about it.
Oh, that's amazing.
I was like, Yelp does articles?
I mean, I guess they do. If they didn't before, they do now. They got a lot of free time on their
hands.
Yeah,
they're bored.
But I just think, look, you know, sometimes the stuff we talk about in the show might get heavy or serious. But I think for the time being, at least, I am very content to be a little bit of light in a dark time. I'm saying our show, not me personally. And that extends as far as, you know, I did shamelessly reply to that viral tweet saying like, hey, if you like relationships and food that much, I do a podcast about it with Stevie Nelson. So let's hope if there's any, even one new listener to this show because of that tweet, hello, welcome. Our show does not usually sound like this.
No. Yeah. Go back and listen to like also, season one of episode three. Wait, no, that's opposite. Yeah, dyslexic. Season 3, episode 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Start from there. Also, what else to say about it? Oh, this is our 80th episode.
Damn.
That's pretty cool. And what's even cooler is that means that 100 is around the corner.
Wow. For our 100th episode, we should do something like what people do for their 100th anniversary.
Die.
Dave, we should die together. We should die together and get graves put next to one another and just like go to the Jewish cemetery together.
Okay. Whoever gets coronavirus first, you have to give it to the other one.
Okay. That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, deal. listeners, this is honestly, and you know, these are small struggles, but you know, getting a podcasting rig set up, buying a microphone, depending on how this episode sounds, maybe next one will sound better. An adapter has been purchased to get Stevie's microphone to be able to go into her computer. We are doing a ton of kind of workaround stuff to make sure that this sounds as good as we are humanly able to in this insane time.
Yeah, we're trying to keep going, but we also have almost no access to getting things. So like Amazon isn't shipping things right now. Like it takes like a month and a half to get things. So we are doing our best. If this episode does sound a little bad, know that that's because we are all recording separately from our computers. So hopefully we'll have it fixed by the next episode. And if not, just bear with us or don't listen. But if you've gotten to this point, you've already listened. But these are my sincerest apologies because I'm sure it was hard on the ears.
And if it sounded okay, it means we figured it out, but it's going to get way better in the coming weeks. And what I will say is this is the point in the show where I ask people to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on on Apple Podcasts. You can email us at iburneverythingpod@gmail.com. You can call us at 213-458-5236. And this week I'm asking for a prompt. We're trying to do a bunch of stuff in the coming weeks where we check in with some of our favorite guests. So we know who our favorite guests are. If you guys have some favorite guests from previous episodes, please let us know. They'll probably be similar because I'm sure we all have kind of the same taste, but let us know what you think because we're going to be talking to some great people we've talked to before. We might be talking to some people for the first time that we love, but we're trying to get some repeat people coming back. So let us know who you loved.
Yes, please. Please make sure to stay healthy out there. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer. Take showers. Drink water. Drink some hot tea. Viruses hate the heat.
Keep it warm.
Keep it warm. And make sure to wash. Just please wash your hands over and over and over and over and over again.
And stay in touch with the people that are really important to you in your life because you have no excuse not to call them now.
Yeah. And maybe the best part about this also is get out of touch with the people who you don't care about and let those fall away.
Oh, my God.
Let those fall away naturally. What a good time to shed some extra weight.
Oh, my God. Some extra emotional weight is just going to melt off of me. That's so smart.
It will.
I love it. I love that. Okay. Stevie, listeners, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye, Dave. I'll miss you.
I'll miss you. Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever encountered an unexplained hairy bipedal hominid in the woods?
Have you received telepathic messages from an unidentified aerial phenomenon?
If so, then you need to listen to Bigfoot Collectors Club. I'm Michael McMillan.
And I'm Bryce Johnson.
And together with super producer
Riley Bray,
we make up the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
That's right. Every week we talk to actors, comedians, writers, and paranormal experts about their personal paranormal histories and share stories of high strangeness.
Like the time when we talked to Craig Ferguson about the Loch Ness Monster and when a sea witch told him them he had raven magic.
Or the time I asked Pitch Perfect's Anna Camp her opinion on cattle mutilations. Past guests have included Rachel Bloom, Jen Kirkman, Paul F. Tompkins, Bobcat Goldthwait, and more.
So if you've ever been abducted alongside five reindeer by an alien with drills for hands, or witnessed Bigfoot crawl out of an interdimensional portal,
don't laugh, happens all the time.
Then check out Bigfoot Collectors Club on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bigfoot Collectors Club, you're here to believe us.
Wait, is that how it goes?
Campfire.